Welcome to Studio A from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Isabel Lee, and with us in the studio today are two interdisciplinary artists, Daniel Mangiaracino and Cardin Chung. Both of them are musicians, composers, and dancers, among many other things, and they come to us as part of the Falco Woodworks Artist Residency and will be performing at IPR's Side Door Session this Sunday, June 21st at 8 p.m. in the Candle Factory in Traverse City. Cardin, Daniel, welcome to Studio A.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You both met doing improvisation. How would you describe your first time improvising together?
Can I go?
Absolutely legendary. Yeah, that's all the words I have. You go for it.
I can set the scene, guys. I can set the scene. So imagine this. Two of us are, we have to walk 20 minutes to the practice rooms at USC. And we're not really talking that much, honestly. Like, slight light banter back and forth.
Yes. It was the first time we had really met as well.
Yeah.
Is the other important piece of information.
Yeah, this is like, because we met at a dining hall.
Yes.
And then we're like, oh, let's jam. And so we're walking to this thing. Daniel takes us into the piano room, two pianos in front of us. We don't really talk. You play something. I respond. And then lo and behold, like, 40 minutes goes by. Yep. And then we realized, oh, wow.
We had a whole conversation. I feel like I learned so much from that about Cardin that I think it would have otherwise taken like years to really understand just from that, that improvisation alone, which I think was a fantastic start to the friendship. I'll say that.
What, yeah.
How cinematic.
I got it on video.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. Yeah. We said way more on those two pianos than we could have in person.
Yeah.
And you're about to collaborate again at the Candle Factory this Sunday, June 21st at 8 p.m. What's the best part about working with each other?
The silence is because there are too many things, just to be clear. I think we both, and please correct me if I'm mistaken, I think we both have a very good balance in our dynamic of a really understanding where the other is coming from, both like artistically and technically, but we also appreciate when the other challenges each other. We like to keep each other on our toes, especially in improvisation that'll come up. But I think that kind of play is something that at least I personally really appreciate from both the friendship and the collaboration.
Yeah, actually, I'll piggyback off of you on this.
Awesome.
I think our greatest asset is our openness to listen to each other because we come from two different backgrounds of music making, but we come from similar frequencies of listening. And that allows us to be challenged by each other, get new inspiration from each other in ways that just like, yeah, no. I think that's, it's cool to be able to match your frequency wave and talk on this level so that all of our experiences, your classical experience, my jazz experience can come in together without having to butt heads at each other. And if they do butt heads, it's butting heads in a good way.
Yeah. it ends up being intentional. And then it's something else that we can work off of as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's another climbing point.
So both of you blend artistic practices across mediums in such creative ways. So Daniel, you're also a classically trained pianist, but you compose in pretty new and inventive ways. When you're composing, how do you challenge what you've learned from your classical piano training?
The primary lens that I go into when I'm composing music, whether it be for piano or when producing music or arranging, is primarily through the intention of sound design and texture. I'm very largely influenced by a lot of electronic genres, and I think piano is a wonderful medium to explore how that genre and the difference and variety of texture translates into a singular instrument. And what better instrument than the piano that's been used to replicate an orchestra for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right. That's so fascinating. We're about to hear two of Mangiaracino's compositions here in Studio A. Mandarasino plays at the piano, his composition Inference No. 2, as well as his own transcription of Reflections in D by Bill Evans. Thank you. And we just heard Inference Number 2 and Reflections in D, played and composed by Daniel Mangiaracino, here in IPR's Studio A, previewing Daniel Mangiaracino's and Cardin Chung's performance this Sunday at 8 p.m. at the Candle Factory in Traverse City. Well, Daniel, that was a lovely performance. How much of that was improvised?
The second inference was not improvised at all. That was written out. But the Reflections in D, that introduction was improvised. And I, after learning through the Bill Evans transcription pretty verbatim, I've learned the areas in which I feel that I can take liberties where it aligns with how I see certain lines going, so that I'm able to express some of my own profile as a musician in there as well.
So why did you name that composition Inference Number 2?
The general definition of an inference is drawing information pragmatically by logic and reasoning rather than from sensory input and more emotional conclusions. I think that it's fun to push the boundaries of those definitions because, especially in the creative process, some of the decisions that I'll make based off of emotion aren't really necessarily emotional decisions. I think understanding the scaffolding of how emotions work in music is kind of an integral skill to build as a musician. And so in making this, I really just wanted to look at the objective inspirations that I have and pull from as many of those pressure points as possible. So I think primarily in this piece, I take after specific contemporary composers, particularly that of Carl Vine and Debussy. Those are two of my favorites, but as well as the kind of storytelling elements that come from a lot of video game soundtracks and some of the motifs that change and alter as time goes on. Obviously, that idea isn't exclusive to video games in general. I think it exists in films and in stories and maybe more evidently in Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. But I think being able to draw from those inspirations and map them out as its own type of memory score and inspiration and reference score in the present moment, I think, is how I kind of came to that.
Wonderful. And Daniel, you work with a discipline called choreomusicology. How do you practice this mashup of dance and music, from what I understand?
Of course. Yeah, choreomusicology is a more academic term for trying to understand the deeper relationships between music and dance, whether that's the actual disciplines themselves or the creative process. And so I am seeking to do research to understand how those two disciplines influence each other within my own process and seeing how that translation process applies to working with others as well.
So both of you blend artistic practices across mediums in such creative ways. Cardin, in addition to music, dance, and visual arts, you're also a creative technologist. What exactly does that entail?
Oh man, yeah, the phrase creative technologist is quite an umbrella term. It refers to people that try to use some form of coding and or technology work into their artworks themselves. So, for example, what you'll see at Candlelight Factory is that I'll be setting up a microphone to record the piano and doing some audio reactive stuff. So based on the frequencies of the piano being played, different lights will turn off and on. And so creative technologist really refers to people who use a lot of coding to integrate within their artworks like that.
That's wonderful. Cardin, we're about to hear some music that you're about to perform. Can you tell us a bit about how you came up with these pieces? And you finished these pieces very recently. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the first piece, I don't have a title yet, although it's more, I feel like the piece is more of a meditation upon just a motif that I had been building. So maybe perhaps I'll call it just Meditations. That piece I came up with because I wanted to find a way to integrate guitar and piano at the same time, even though I only have two hands. And so I thought to integrate a little bit of live looping into it, as well as a little bit of like back and forth call and response exchanges between the guitar and piano. The second piece, which is also currently untitled, this piece actually, it came from an improvisation I did back in October when I had visited Traverse City. I was there for a dance festival, and the Millikan Theater had this very beautiful grand. I mean, Daniel can attest to that.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. It just has such a soft and beautiful tone to it. And from there, I made this improvisation where I was just playing this B flat note constantly as everything around it was shifting and changing. And ever since that time in Traverse City, I have like kept that idea, that motif, that sound in my head ever since. And since coming back to Woodworks, I'm having this chance to make music and perform it. And I thought, okay, well, we're back in Traverse City. Might as well revisit this thing and, you know, finally fully realize it. So it's cool to come back to that piece knowing that it started in October, but I didn't finish it till I came back again.
Well, up next here in IPR's Studio A, Cardin Chung at the piano and the guitar, playing his own two original compositions. Thank you. two original compositions by Cardin Chung, who played the guitar and the piano in that performance. Cardin Chung and Daniel Mangiaracino, our guests today, will be performing at IPR's Side Door Session this Sunday, June 21st at 8 p.m. in the Candle Factory in Traverse City. This edition of Studio A was engineered by Jack Connors. Additional support came from Emma Stadelman and Juliana Stratton. I'm Isabel Lee, and thanks for listening.